This is episode 25 of IDRA Class Notes.
To have a science teacher show us the journal that the children are keeping with photographs and drawings, and then the English teacher with the essays they wrote, and then the math teacher shows the graphs that Rafael did last month and then this month, and in there the social worker, he said, well, you know that last month the aunt died and da-da-da-da. So at the professional level, not only are the teachers no longer isolated, but they're doing very critical comparison of teaching approaches and teaching methods. They're also taking a very humanistic look at themselves, at their peers, and at the students. Welcome to the podcast called Class Notes. We, the Intercultural Development Research Association, have been doing this series on education. My name is Aurelio Montemayor. Thank you for listening. We explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve every student. We would love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions. There will be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us. We have also set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website to sign up. Our website is www.idra.org. Our topic for today is small learning communities in schools, with Josie Danini Cortez and Dr. Juanita Garcia. Josie Cortez is a veteran researcher who continues to lead many of IDRA's key research efforts, including a national research study of exemplary bilingual education programs. Josie is a medical anthropologist and has been an adjunct faculty member of the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio's School of Medicine for 25 years. She received her bachelor's degree in anthropology from the University of Notre Dame. She received her master's degree in medical anthropology from Case Western Reserve University. Dr. Juanita Garcia has been a teacher in several school districts and has served as an administrative intern and assistant principal. She received her PhD from Texas A&M University a few years ago, and her PhD is in the work that she does. At IDRA, she is a site coordinator for IDRA's FLAIR project and for our Coca-Cola Valued Youth program. She received her master's degree in liberal arts and elementary bilingual education from SMU, and as I told you, she's got her PhD. She's an Aggie. Okay. Josie.
Aurelio.
Why professional learning communities? Why is that an important concept?
The concept, of course, has been researched for quite a while, and we know through the research, it's got a very strong research base, that smaller learning communities and professional learning communities work. They work in terms of increasing the skills and competencies of teachers, and certainly work in terms of improving results for students academically. One of the things that we were interested with the Coca-Cola Valued Youth Program was seeing if we could plan some variations of the program. As you know, the program that IDRA developed back in 1984 has been extraordinarily successful in keeping kids in school. It's a proven dropout prevention program, one of only two in the country that has been researched so well it is deemed an exemplary program for keeping kids in school. Given all of this, we had seen over the course of 20 or more years that some variations were happening at different sites. The program has been in the United States, in Brazil, in England, in Puerto Rico, and in all of the sites, there is some adaptation that occurs. We were interested in seeing if there was a way that we could plan some of these adaptations to see if the program in a varied form could work as effectively as the traditional model. And one of those ways was trying to see if beginning a professional learning community and mentoring model as a planned variation of the program would work.
Okay, so you just mentioned something else, a mentoring model. You have a basic program that works, the Coca-Cola Valued Youth Program, and then you are saying, and to enhance it, we will have a professional learning community and mentoring. Dr. Garcia, Juanita, you've been working with this small school district in South Texas. Well, not that small, but by Texas standards, I guess it's small. You've been working with this district for over 10 years. Why did you see this as an important variation of the program?
Well, I think it provides a more personalized learning experience for the Coca-Cola Valued Youth tutors. Each tutor now has a content area teacher that mentors these tutors. It also fosters this close-knit family kind of feeling. And we feel it all the time from when I meet with the team members. And it really ensures that there are several adults that are really looking out for these students. And these teachers really get to know these students very, very well.
You know, the three of us, Josie, Juanita, and myself, have been working with this program for a long time. And we know, for example, that this program works if certain elements are in place. You pick a middle school or high school student who, if nothing happens, the school will not be able to hold on to them, okay? And instead of having some kind of a remediation or a stigmatized program, you tell the child, the tutor, we're selecting you because we think you can work with this young child, kindergarten, first grader, second grader. And through your tutoring, that child is going to do well. With no direct tutoring of the tutor or any other direct intervention around their academic achievement, we know that they stay in school, they do better in terms of attendance, their behavior problems go down, and for many of them, their academic achievement goes up. But we also know historically that we've had to battle that this program has a bell jar around it, and the middle school teachers that this tutor goes to every day for math, science, and social studies have not always been supporters of the child or the program. We also know from other research, Josie, that we did in Dallas some years ago, what was it from that Dallas study about Hispanic dropouts that came out of that study?
Back in 1989, Aurelio, we did a Dallas dropout study, Dallas, Texas, with the Dallas Independent School District, where we interviewed students who had dropped out of school and those who remained to see what the differences were and what the school needed to do to make sure that all kids stayed in school. And one of the most compelling pieces that came out of that research that was later validated by some recent research over at Johns Hopkins is that if you have one person, one adult, who is almost irrationally committed to the success of a child, that child will succeed. And it is that commitment, that total belief that that child is valuable, that none is expendable, which is the essence of the Coca-Cola Valued Youth Program, that's what makes a huge difference for a child. So bringing teachers and social workers and counselors together, as we do in this school, in the plan variation, who come together in a middle school environment and have only one purpose, and that purpose is to see the assets and the gifts of every child and to make sure that each of those children do succeed, is what is making a difference now for those kids in ways that we haven't seen before.
So then, Juanita, when we decided to bring together two very powerful ideas, one is the professional learning community that teachers should be having on any campus, whereas peers, they're doing critical thinking about their teaching and supporting each other in that, and also having each content area teacher become a counselor, surrogate parent, friend, as a mentor to targeted students. What's the impact you've seen on the teachers themselves? What do they say, and how are their behaviors have been affected?
I think they've got, you know, a very strong commitment to making a difference for these students, and there's more of a sharing among them. You know, we've always had teacher isolation. You usually, you know, go in, close your door, and you don't talk to anybody else. Now they're more coordinating activities. They're talking with each other. So I've really seen this commitment to making a difference and a lasting change.
Josie, over the last 2 years, we just started the third year of this pilot project. What is the data showing?
What the data is showing are that a couple of things. One, in terms of the teachers, what Juanita was talking about was an increased awareness among the teachers of the potential of students. Mm-hmm. the teachers, as you were mentioning, Juanita, a lot of times are isolated. Mm-hmm. And they work within their own content area, and they may come together for some things, but
they're siloed.
One of the key components of this plan variation is the team planning that occurs once a week. So the teachers and the social worker and the counselor come together once a week. Obviously, the support from the principal, from the administrator, is key here. You've got to have the principal allowing for that time and space for teachers to do this. As they come together through some guided reflection and case studies that IDRA provides, the team then, the professional learning community and mentoring team, review what is happening with each child that they are mentoring during that weekly period. And through this guided reflection, they are able then to zero in on what is needed to make sure the child succeeds. But what is also happening is that the teachers, these adults, are learning things about the child that have an impact on the intervention. So for example, a math teacher might be saying, you know, this child is just really having a horrible time at math right now. I don't know what's going on, but he's just not getting these concepts. That statement then becomes something very different in terms of an intervention. Instead of thinking, well, the child can't master the concept, mm-hmm. another teacher, perhaps a reading teacher, will say, you know, I've tried this strategy and it works beautifully.
So and then the social worker might say, you know, last night they slept in the car because they weren't at home.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of thinking the child just doesn't want to mm-hmm. do his homework, he finds out, you know, there's some issues mm-hmm. that are really impacting this child, and the intervention needs to be different. I, as a teacher, need to do something differently to make sure the child succeeds. That is a really powerful departure from what they had been doing before, and they can only get this information, this knowledge base, mm-hmm. through this smaller learning community, this professional learning community that they do once a week. So we're seeing huge, huge benefits to teachers, and even greater benefits through students. As we look at the academic progress that children are making this year, this second year in this particular school, we looked at their TAC scores, which is the state mandated test, and we looked at their TAC scores for this group of tutors for reading, math, etc., as compared to a comparison group. Same demographic profile, same grade level, etc. And what we saw was that the tutors not only did better than the comparison group kids, but they actually started at a lower level, at their baseline. So when you look at where the kids start at the beginning of the year, and then you see where they end up, our plan variation tutors actually started lower than the mm-hmm. comparison group, and they made greater progress. They had greater gains than the comparison group. So that's really significant.
That's good. What do the teachers and the students say about this, Juanita?
Well, the teachers really, really love the opportunity to come together and share. And I'll just, one of the things that really stood out for me was some of the insights that were captured last year. And one of them, and I think I know who she is, but I'm not going to mention names. They begin to see, it's this shift in the valuing philosophy. And one of them said, it's not whether you taught 3 years or 33 years because you can teach 1 year 33 times. So they're beginning to see exactly what Josie said. Let's try something. So it's shifting from a very teacher-centered the instruction to very student-centered instruction.
You know, something Juanita, you and I have been working, we meet periodically with them. We have a beginning of the year retreat with them on a Saturday, an end of year retreat. Most of the work they do every week. And so one of the things that I hear from them is, number one, we wish all the teachers could participate in these retreats because they're participatory, they do critical thinking, they validate their teaching, they deal with real issues. But then when we've had them bring, they talk about the students that are their mentees, and these are like case studies, how they're doing academically, how's their language development. Most of them are English language learners, they come from very poor families. And so They're tracking how they're doing in their particular content areas, but they're also showing each other how they teach because they bring examples of student work. Mm-hmm. And I think that realia of the classroom, rarely do teachers have a regular show and tell with each other, certainly across disciplines, because you'll have departmental head meetings at the middle school or high school level, but to have a science teacher show us the journal that the children are keeping with photographs and drawings, and then the English teacher with the essays they wrote, and then the math teacher shows the graphs that Rafael did last month and then this month, and in there the social worker, he said, well, you know that last month the aunt died and da-da-da-da. And so all this stuff. So at the professional level, not only are the teachers no longer isolated, but they're doing very critical comparison of teaching approaches and teaching methods. They're also taking a very humanistic look at themselves, at their peers, and at the students. I think this is very valuable. And you know, Houston is the largest district in the state, one of the largest in the country. And 2 years ago, summer before last, they instituted professional learning communities as a major effort. I know that they've spent millions of dollars, certainly a large amount, because they brought in an outside consultant firm that's an expert in this. They had teams from every single campus in HISD. And I've seen it carry out. It's not a bad idea, but you see the books, the materials, they're academically wonderful. And you go to the campuses, and it's kind of trying to do things by the book and without the soul, the spirit. And what I've been noticing with our teachers as we work with them is there's a spirit and a soul to it that goes beyond, you know, the intellectual benefits to peers in a professional learning group. This is not just a study group. It's professionals who are respecting each other and their thinking is being respected, but who are also doing very critical thinking about how can we help these children succeed. It's no longer the math teacher saying, well, I'm here to teach math, and the English teacher saying, I'm here to teach English. They're all saying, we're here to teach these children. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely. We have created very strong teams. The team, the learning community team, and then the teams within teams is what has happened. They have a very strong commitment to mission and goals. They created their own mission and goals, team visions and goals. And so we have seen that very, very strong commitment for making change.
Josie, from a research point of view, what do you think is the challenge in having something this take on a campus or in a district?
I think one of the biggest challenges is having the administration supportive, given everything that is going on in a campus, and we know firsthand because we work every day with teachers and principals and superintendents, and we know the realities of all of the urgent, immediate things that have to go on in a campus. But the most immediate and urgent thing really is to make sure the kids succeed. And if you have a proven program, as Coca-Cola Youth Program is proven, then that's a great start. This research for the past 2 years has shown that this variation works very well. And when you have a critical mass of teachers, as we do, who come together on a weekly basis, you've got to have that administrator support. That's one of the biggest challenges, that on top of everything that people have to do, they have to make time for this. The guided reflection, as we know, has been really, really important. For teachers, I mentioned one of the key components earlier was the guided reflection and case studies and coming together once a week. There are also 4 retreats that take place during the year that IDRA plans and facilitates. And during these retreats, we keep hearing over and over again from the learning community participants, just being able to stop what they're doing 4 times a year for 1 Saturday each time and come together to really reflect on and assess if what they're doing is working, what they need to improve on, strengthen, and to come together as professionals among themselves and really share everything that they're learning and the impact they think they're having it's really a critical piece, but we've got to have that administrator support. It's a key challenge and a key ingredient.
Agreed. Juanita?
Absolutely. I'm just very glad that I have been a part of this along with Aurelio. It has given me hope for our students.
You know, as we see attrition rates and dropout rates keep going up all over the country, when you see a particular place where they are solving it, there's no silver bullet, but you cannot remove the human spirit, the human element from it. You can have the most cognitively skilled teacher, but if the heart isn't there, the affective domain is not there, it's not going to work. You need both. You need to know how to teach, and you need to really care. Thank you for participating, Josie and Juanita. Thank you all for listening. Remember, send us your thoughts, questions, and suggestions. You'll get email alerts. Till the next time.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.